is Jimmy Clitheroe as the Clitheroe Kid, with Peter Sinclair, Patricia Burke, Danny Ross and Diana Day in...
A Funny Thing Happened at the Fair.
Jimmy, you wanted on the phone. It's your pal, Ozzy.
He's no pal of mine. He got me the cane yesterday.
How?
He knocked his desk over in art class.
Well, why did you get the cane?
I put the drawing pin on his seat. He was funny. He jumped up, knocked his paint box on the floor, fell down and landed right on his Prussian blue. Charlie Thompson looked at the paint on his pants and said, "Hey, you're supposed to paint with your brush, not with your bottom."
Very funny. Look, Ozzy's waiting for you. Go and speak to him.
Right, Mum. I'll speak to him, all right. Getting me in bother with the teacher. Hello? Is that you, Blabbermouth? So you squealed to Tick-Tock Tilly, did you? You needn't have told it was my drawing pin you sat on. You could have said you got cramp. You what? You can get cramp anywhere. Why did you ring me? You what? No, I don't want to go to the fairground with you and your dad. Our Susan's taking me. I hope I do see you there. I'll throw a wooden ball at your head. Why not? You've got your hair cut like a coconut. Yes, you're half skinhead and half a Hell's Angel. What? All right, then, we'll be friends. If you pay for two rides on the Dodgems, three shots at the Crazy Kitchen and a trip down the Tunnel of Love. No, you daft, Lukin. So we can get in the boat behind our Susan and Alfie Hall. And as soon as they start getting sloppy, we'll paddle like mad and ram 'em. Of course Alfie's coming with us. He's here with her now. They're in the garden. I can see him through the window. Hey, they're going in the greenhouse. I must see this, Ozzy. Hang on a minute. Are you still there, Ozzy? I've got me granddad's telescope. Stand by and I'll give you a running commentary. Well, there they are in the corner of the greenhouse. Alfie starts his run up, moves in, gathers speed and brings over his right arm, and now his left arm grabs our Susan and bowls a maiden over. Hey, they won't half cop it. Alfie's just grabbed one of me granddad's tomatoes. Of course he'll miss it. He's only got three red uns. As soon as he got another one, we were going to have salad for tea.
Jimmy, finish that phone call and come here.
Right, Mum. I'll see you later, Ozzy. My mum's shouting for me. Ta-ra. Right, Mum, what is it you want?
Would you go and call Susan, please?
Certainly. What shall I call her? Fish Face?
Call her in for tea. She's in the garden with Alfie. Oh, here she comes. Is Alfie stopping for his tea, Susan?
No, he's got to pop back home. He's coming back for me and our Jimmy at 6:15, aren't you, Alfie?
And for what, Susan?
Coming back.
No, I'm just going. Yeah. Man, I am coming back later after I've been, only I've got to go there out. Me mum and dad, but her mum's coming at tea time to fix me mum's old geezer. But not me dad, we're getting a new dad. And I have to let him in. Not dad, the new boiler, I mean. He's from the gas board. Not me dad, the man. Now you know why I'm going.
Yes, and we know where you're going as well. Right round the bend.
Oh, ignore him, Alfie. When we get to the fairground, we'll leave him where he belongs, playing silly games in the funhouse.
Well, it's better than playing sloppy games in the greenhouse. I saw you, scraggy neck, taking Alfie in the greenhouse to feed him up.
Oh, did you? So you've been spying on us again?
I wasn't spying. I was on the phone to my pal Ozzy and he said, "Is it raining?" And I looked out and there you were. snogging.
That'll do.
Just apologise to Susan for spying on her.
I've told you, Mum, it was an accident.
Who left my telescope on the telephone table?
Oh. I'm sorry for spying on you, Susan.
Sorry? With a telescope? Well, that settles it. You're not going with us to the fairground tonight.
You what?
We were only going to the fair to please you, so now Alfie can take me to the dance.
But, Susan, it was only a joke.
Yeah, Susan, don't be too hard on Jimmy.
We are going to the dance.
But Jimmy's not old enough to go to a dance. Oh, no, you mean you and me go to the dance, not me and him. You and him, me, but and him, you. I'll start again.
Don't bother. Look, what is all this, Susan?
No, don't you interfere, Father. Susan's quite right not to take him.
Jimmy, what have you been doing?
Well, I got your telescope to do a bit of bird watching, and I saw Alfie eat one of your tomatoes.
Yes, go on.
Yeah, one of your tomatoes. He ate it. A red un.
I know. I told Susan to give him one. Well, go on. Let's hear the story.
Once upon a time, there were three bears.
All right. It's your own fault that you're not going to the fair.
Not going? Me grandad will take me, won't you?
I can't. I'm going to the hospital with your mother to see your Auntie Ethel.
Oh, heck, I'm fed up.
Can you go with anyone else, Jimmy?
Who else would be daft? Oh, of course. My pal Ozzy wanted to take me with his dad. I'll go round and see Mr. Higginbottom.
Yeah, I'll answer the door on my way out. Now, cheerio, everybody. Cheerio, Mr. Sinclair. Oh, hello, Mr. Higginbottom.
Hello, you fool. Get out of my way.
Come in here, Mr. Higginbottom.
Oh,
Higgy. Jimmy was just coming round to see you.
Was he? Well, I've just come round to see him.
Yes, I was going to ask you if you'd take me to the fairground tonight with Ozzy.
You destructive little whelp. I've a good mind to belt your lug hole.
I'll just go and get my handbag.
Yes, and belt him back with it.
Jimmy, now look, Higgy, not so much of the whelp.
Yes, Mr. Higginbottom, just be careful what you say.
I'm sorry, missus, but you can't blame me for losing my temper. I mean, I get home 5 minutes ago and I find Ozzy's plastic Mac hanging in the hall, torn to ribbons.
Well, that wasn't my fault. Blame Ozzy. He shouldn't have such a big head.
You'll have a big nose if you come near my fist.
Now, all right. Jimmy, explain what you mean.
Well, Ozzy wanted to play blind man's buff on roller skates.
What? He must have been mad.
That's what I told him. I said, it's too dangerous. Let's have a quiet game of bullfights.
Bullfights? What happened?
Well, I was the Toreador and Charlie Thompson was the bull.
And what was Ozzy?
He was your grandson's horse.
Yeah, and he was useless. Every time I jumped in the saddle, he collapsed.
So will you, if you don't get to the point. Now, how did you rip the Mac?
Give him a chance. Now, go on, Jimmy. You said it was something to do with Ozzy's big head.
Now, look here.
Well, we swapped round after a bit, and when Ozzy was the bull, he overdid it. He started pawing the ground and snorting. I waved his Mac at him, he charged like mad and got his head stuck up the sleeve. If we hadn't ripped the Mac to get him out, he'd have suffocated.
Oh, never mind all this rubbish. You ripped Ozzy's Mac and it cost me 15 bob.
Well, you will go to these high-class shops.
Jimmy, shut up. Look, Mr. Higginbottom, it sounds to me as if both Jimmy and Ozzy were to blame.
Aye, Higgy, I agree. So we'll pay for half the damage. Here's 7 and 6 pence.
All right. But listen, Clitheroe.
Yes, Mr. Higginbottom, Esquire?
The next time you come round to my place, I'll teach you to play pitch and toss. I'll pitch you out of the door and toss you over the fence.
All right, Higgy, all right. You've got the money. Come on, I'll show you to the door.
Just a minute. Mr. Higginbottom hasn't answered my question.
What question?
Are you going to take me to the fair tonight?
Well, James, I'm sorry I missed your mother and granddad. They've gone to see a sick relative, you say?
Yeah, that's right, Mr. Brocklebank. They wanted to take me to the fairground, but I made them go and see me auntie in hospital.
Oh, that was nice of you.
Yes, I know. Our Susan wanted to take me, but I said Alfie would sooner go dancing with her, and their pleasure came first.
No. Yes, a noble sentiment.
Yeah, then Mr. Higginbottom was on about taking me, but I said, no, I'd rather go with my special friend, Mr. Brocklebank. That's you.
I beg your pardon. I don't quite follow.
Mr. Brocklebank, I want to treat you to the fair.
Well, that's very kind of you.
But I've got no money, so I'll let you treat me.
James, will you please stop asking me to stand up and ride bareback on my hobby horse?
Well, I thought there might be a talent scout in the crowd from Smart Circus.
Ha ha. Look, the way this hobby horse is going up and down, I daren't let go of this pole.
Get away. Don't be chicken. If the Queen can ride side saddle, surely you can. A smash you wanted? I'll bet you're glad you came on the moon rocket after all, Mr. Brocklebank. Mr. Brocklebank? Mr. Brocklebank? Oh, heck, he's fainted. James,
isn't that Mr. Higginbottom and Oswald standing outside the Noah's Ark?
No, it's two of the animals who've escaped.
Don't be silly. Hello there. Mr. Higginbottom. Cooey.
Shut up. I don't want him to see us.
Why not?
Because if he does, he'll tell me Mum and you'll get into trouble.
What for?
For bringing me to the fairground where my Mum said I hadn't to go.
What? James, you didn't tell me she'd forbidden you to come here.
Of course not. If I had, you wouldn't have brought me. Come on, it's 7:30 and we've got to get back before 8:00 so they'll never know I've been out.
Oh, very well, James, but you've been very dishonest and I warn you, when one practices deceit, one is always in danger of being found out.
Not if one keeps one's big mouth shut.
You've been here since 6:15, Humphrey.
That was the time I arrived.
So you weren't on your own then, Jimmy?
Oh, no, Mr. Brocklebank took me. Was with me.
Well, I'm sorry I was out, Humphrey. He had rather a long wait.
Oh, it didn't seem long to us. We had a smashing time. Except when Mr. Brocklebank fainted on the city.
Fainted?
Well, he didn't actually faint, did you?
No, I just came over a little dizzy. I mean weak, with the heat.
But we haven't had the fire lit.
He's still
wearing his winter underwear.
Jimmy didn't get you playing any silly games, did he, Humphrey?
Oh, no, we didn't play anything.
Were you watching television then?
Yes.
No.
Going to watch Branded, but Mr. Brocklebank doesn't like cowboys. It's the way the horses go up and down. It makes him feel sick.
Mrs. Clitheroe, could we get started on the Women's Guild accounts, please?
Oh, yes, Humphrey. I'll get them from the front room. Oh, dear. Excuse me while I see who's at the front door.
It was raining when we got to the hospital. It doesn't seem to have rained here very much.
Oh, no. The weather was fine at the fair. The weather was fair and fine in the funhouse. The house, I mean.
He means that was the forecast, fair and fine, on the telly, that we didn't watch.
Yes.
Well, come in and wait, Sergeant. He shouldn't be long.
Oh, thank you very much, madam.
Mr. Higginbottom is coming here, isn't he, Father?
Oh, aye. We're going down to the Rose and Crown for a pint or two.
Or three, or four.
You be quiet. Well, the sergeant here wants to have a word with Mr. Higginbottom.
Is it for keeping Ozzy without a licence?
Oh, James!
Shut up and behave yourself.
I'm sorry, Mr. Sinclair.
Not you, Humphrey. He's talking to Jimmy. Would you like to sit down, Sergeant?
Sergeant Dixon. Ah. Thanks.
Sergeant Dixon? Hey, not...
Don't say it, son. I get it all day long.
You get what all day long, Sergeant?
Well, you know, you look different on the telly. Evening all. Is Jack Warner your dad?
No, my name's Brockleback. Oh, I see. Is your dad, they say... It's funny.
What are you on about, Humphrey?
The sergeant's got a funny dad.
Shut up, Jimmy. Go and answer the door.
Right, ma'am.
It'll be Mr. Higginbottom. Tell him the sergeant wants to see him.
All right. Fancy wanting to see Mr. Higginbottom. He must like horror pictures.
Oh, it's you.
Hello, Mr. Horror, Monster, Higginbottom. Come in.
Well, what are you up to now?
Me? What are you up to? The police are looking for you. Have you committed a murder?
Not yet, so don't start your cheek. The police? A load of idiots, especially that sergeant at the police station. Dixon of Dock Green. He's dead from the neck up.
Who's dead from the neck up?
Sergeant Dixon.
Oh, you said Sergeant Dixon is dead from the neck up?
Yes, he is. What are we shouting for?
Yes, it's silly. There's no need to shout. Come in and tell him.
Yes, I will, eh? Tell who?
Sergeant Dixon. Sergeant, Mr. Higginbottom here says he thinks you're dead from the neck...
Shut up, you little troublemaker.
Hello, Mr. Higginbottom. I called at your home, but your wife said you were on your way here. I just wanted another word about the identity parade.
What? Are you putting Higgy on an identity parade?
I've been on one. That's the trouble. I went to the fair with Ozzy, put him on the bus home, and I was just walking down the street to collect me watch.
From the pawn shop?
Shut up. When out of the police station steps a big flat-footed copper, and he said...
If you want to know the time, ask me.
Jimmy, will you keep quiet? Go on, Mr. Higginbottom. What did the constable want?
He wanted me to go on an identity parade. Because they'd caught some crook who'd knocked an old man down and pinched his wallet.
No, we didn't say he was a crook, sir. We had a suspect.
Oh, yes. You see, James, they wanted Mr. Higginbottom and certain other men to line up with the suspect to see if the victim could identify him.
I know. I've seen James Cagney on the telly as well as you, you know. What do you mean? Your guy has lost his dough. Cassius Peepers along the line. To see if we can finger the hoodlum who did the mugging.
Yes, that's what I meant.
You two keep quiet. Look, did you go on the identity parade, Higgy?
Yeah. And the old fool picked me out as the one who'd robbed him.
Oh, so the sergeant's come here to arrest you. Hey, I'll go and ring Ozzy and tell him.
I'll wring your neck.
Now, if you'll just keep quiet for a moment, Sonny. Look, Mr. Higginbottom, we've had another go at the old man, but he still insists it was you. So, the inspector insists that I have another word with you. I mean, I'm sure you had nothing to do with it, but just to clear it up, is there anybody who could prove you were at the fairground, as you say, when the robbery took place?
Well, there was Ozzy, my lad. I mean, he'll tell you.
Well, we couldn't really take your son's word, could we?
Oh, you've heard about Ozzy, have you? He comes out with some whoppers, you know.
Jimmy, you're asking to be smacked.
And I'm the one who'll do the smacking, so keep quiet.
At what time did this robbery occur?
At about 7 p.m. behind the town hall.
And at 7 o'clock, I was on the fairground 2 miles away.
That's true. Mr. Higginbottom was definitely on the fairground at 7 o'clock tonight.
How do you know?
Because
Mr.
I was...
Mr. Brocklebank!
Oh, yes. Well, I was here when Mr. Higginbottom said so.
So were we, you stupid ninny?
Father!
I was here as well, sir, but I want to hear somebody else say Mr. Higginbottom was at the fairground.
All right, I'll say it. Mr. Higginbottom was at the fairground. Oh, ma'am!
You've been asking for that.
Now, look, Mr. Higginbottom, you'd better have a think about this. See if you can remember seeing anybody at the fairground who could corroborate your statement. And come and see us again. Well, I'll be off. Evening all. Oh, dear, I've done it again.
on about, Brocklebank? Stop mumbling.
I'm trying to tell you while Mrs. Clitheroe and Mr. Sinclair are out of the room.
Yes, we don't want them to know.
Don't want them to know what?
Shh!
That you are innocent.
Yeah, but we don't want me mum and me grandad to know.
You don't want them to know I'm innocent? Will you stop shushing? I'm wet through. Look, how do you know I'm innocent?
Because James and I were at the fairground and we saw you there.
Well, why didn't you tell the sergeant you were at the fairground? If you two spray me once more, I'll tie your tongues together.
No, I wasn't supposed to be there, so keep quiet.
Never mind, keep quiet. You're going to tell the sergeant the truth.
But of course we are. We'll go down to the police station with you, but there's no need to get James in trouble with his mother.
Oh, no, we mustn't get James into trouble. He's going to tell the sergeant he saw me or he'll be in real trouble.
If you let my mum know I was at the fairground, I will tell the sergeant I saw you behind the town hall robbing the old man. And that's the time Mr. Brocklebank and me left the fairground, Sergeant. 7:30.
Well, if you told me this at your house, Sonny, and you, Mr. Brocklebank, Mr. Higginbottom here wouldn't have had to bring you to the police station.
Ah, well, we couldn't tell you at home. I didn't want to get into trouble, because Mr. Brocklebank and me hadn't decided which story we were using.
What are you talking about?
Yes, have a care, James.
Just a moment, gentlemen. Sonny, I suppose Mr. Brocklebank and Mr. Higginbottom talked to you before you came down here.
Oh, yes. Mr. Higginbottom told me you didn't believe him, so we had to come down to the police station and say we were both at the fair.
He told you to say that?
Yes.
James, you're not explaining it properly.
Well, I'm doing my best. I've told him everything you two said.
I didn't tell you to say anything.
Oh, yes, you did. When we were outside our house, you said, the sergeant won't take any notice of me. Maybe the daft old fool will believe you.
Sergeant!
Now, look, gentlemen, I'm sorry, but I can't accept this evidence as it stands. I'll have to make further inquiries. I should go home and do some more thinking, Mr. Higginbottom. Well, I'll have to leave you now. I've got some other business to attend to. So just think about it, gentlemen. And in the meantime, I shouldn't leave town, either of you.
What's the matter with him?
What's the matter? He still thinks I did the robbery.
But how could you? He said it was at 7:00 and we were on the fairground with you.
We know that.
I remember. We saw you outside the Noah's Ark. Wait a minute. That was at 7:30.
Well?
You could have robbed that old man, you know. You could have run 2 miles in 30 minutes.
Do you think it's wise coming round to the old man's house like this?
Look, there's only one way to settle this. This old fool was mistaken, and I'm going to make him admit it.
Mr. Higginbottom, you're not going to beat him up again, are you?
I'll beat you up in a minute. Now, not a word when this fella comes to the door until I tell him you're my witnesses. Then you tell him the truth.
Oh, yes, it might well make him think again when he realises you have proof of your innocence.
Ah, there you are, you old fool.
Help! Keep away from me, you robber.
Now, listen, you old twit. You want your eyes tested. If you don't tell the police you made a mistake about me, you're going to be in trouble.
That's telling him, Mr. Higginbottom.
Now, look, you don't frighten me. You and these other two skinny heads you brought with you.
We are Mr. Higginbottom's witnesses.
Yes, it's 3-1.
Oh, you're all going to beat me up, are you? Well, you've picked the wrong time. There's somebody in here who'll sort the lot of you out. Sergeant Dixon, come here, quick.
The sergeant's here. Who'll make the old man tell the truth, quick? Twist his arm.
Here you are, Sergeant. He's here again, threatening me. He says if I don't tell you I'm mistaken, I'll be for it.
I said nothing of the kind, Sergeant. I just said he'd be in trouble.
All right, Mr. Jackson, leave it to me. You go back in the house. Now, look here, Mr. Higginbottom. You're the one who's in trouble, and you're getting in deeper every minute, coming round here and trying to intimidate the old man.
No. Mr. Higginbottom was doing nothing of the kind.
No, he just said there was only one thing to do, settle the old fool and make him admit he was wrong.
Father, are you going out tonight? It's turned 8:30.
Well, I've been waiting for Higgy, but it doesn't look as though he's coming. It's not like him to miss his pint on a Saturday night.
Maybe he's practising for when they put him on bread and water.
It's not funny, Jimmy. I was talking to Mrs. Higginbottom and she's very upset.
Yeah, so is Ozzy.
Get away. He's only upset in case they don't put his dad in jail.
I don't understand why it hasn't been cleared up before now. I mean, Higgy went to the police station, I understand, to sort it out.
Yes, but they didn't believe him. The sergeant said... what's for tea?
The sergeant said, what's for tea?
Did he? Oh, well, I suppose coppers have to eat as well.
Hello, can I come in? I came round the back because my feet were dirty and you have a scraper at the back. My boots, not my feet. They're clean. It was open so I came in. No, not the scraper, the door, but if you don't want me to, I can go round the front and ring the bell if I'm interrupted.
Alfie, shut the door on your mouth. I mean, I'll sit down.
Yeah, oh, hello, you're here. I thought you'd be at the Rose and Crown with Miss Regginbottom celebrating.
What are you talking about, Alfie?
My Uncle Charlie. But Mr. Higginbottom, but it was my Uncle Charlie who saw him.
Your Uncle Charlie saw Higginbottom in the pub celebrating?
No, on the fairground, so he couldn't have committed the robbery because my Uncle Charlie has a coconut shy and he remembers Mr. Higginbottom being there at 7:00 because he threw 6 balls and said he'd knock his head off because it was stuck on with glue. Not my uncle's head. The coconut.
Oh. You mean your uncle proved Mr. Higginbottom was innocent because he saw him on the fairground at 7:00?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Only you said it in double Dutch.
Well, that's great. No wonder Higgy's celebrating. I'll away down there and join him.
Well, I'm very pleased.
Yeah, and I bet Jimmy's pleased. And Mr. Brocklebank, because now the police know they were telling the truth.
Well, what about?
Never mind that. Grandad, hadn't you better be going before they run out of beer?
Just a minute. Alfie, what did Jimmy and Mr. Brocklebank tell the police?
They saw Miss Higginbottom on the fairground.
Oh, heck.
Jimmy, do you mean you went to the fairground after all? You didn't stay at home with Mr. Brocklebank?
Well, Mama, I could say yes and I could say no.
Well, what are you going to say?
If I can get to that door first, goodbye.
Those involved with the Clitheroe Kid this week were Peter Sinclair as grandfather, Patricia Burke as mother, Danny Ross as Alfie Hall, Diana Day as Susan, Tony Melody as Mr. Higginbottom, Colin Edwin as Humphrey Brocklebank, and John Graham as Sergeant Dixon and the Old Man. The recorded programme was written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe, produced by James Casey, and starred Jimmy Clitheroe as the Kid himself.
I thought you'd like to know everything was sorted out. The police got the right man, Mr. Higginbottom got an apology from the old fella, and I got me grandad's slipper on me, you know what. Oh, Susan stopped and watched because she thought I'd cry. And she was dead right. I yelled the place down. Ta-ra!
Thank you.
I'm going home.
Jimmy, don't talk like that.
No, stop confusing your mam. I don't live round the bend. That's right. No, it's a straight road to our house, except when you turn up Rawcliffe Road, but even that's not a bend. It's a sharp right angle, because I have to watch it on my back and use my head, but I'm not fetching it this time.
Oh, you're leaving your head at home. Your bike.
Yes, Mother, he can't take both Jimmy and me to the fairground on his motorbike.
He could if we left you at home.
Don't you be cheeky.
Well, I'm right disappointed Alfie won't be bringing his motorbike. I wanted him to take our Susan for a pillion ride on the Wall of Death.
Don't be ridiculous.
Why not? I saw a fella on the telly do it with a monkey on his back. You'd enjoy it, Susan, and every time he came round, I'd throw you a nut.
Look, Jimmy, is it right? Your mum and granddad are going to see your Auntie Ethel in hospital tonight.
Yes, Alfie.
Well, if you don't stop being rude about Susan, they'll be taking you with them as an inpatient.
Jimmy, I've told you before about using that word, snogging, at your age.
I wasn't snogging, it was her.
Your mum didn't mean you were getting mixed up. She meant you shouldn't say we were snogging.
Well, what were you doing? Counting the caterpillars on me granddad's geraniums? Why don't you pack it up, Mr. Brocklebank? That sledgehammer's heavier than you are.
No, it's not strength, James. It's knowing the knack. Here's a shilling, sir. I'll have another attempt. Here goes.
Mr. Brocklebank, whatever it needs to send that bit of iron up to the top, you haven't got it. The only way you'll ring that bell is to climb up and hit it with your bowler hat.
James, will you please stop asking me to stand up and ride bareback on my hobby horse?
Well, I thought there might be a talent scout in the crowd from Smart Circus.